This is Remote Ruby.
Have you any remote idea to the meaning of the word?
Up, dog.
Up, dog.
Up, dog.
Well, that backfired. I assumed you'd never heard that joke before.
Now, you've told me this so many times. I literally only know it because of you.
I was being facetious.
Oh. As you can tell, I can really pick up on sarcasm.
I can tell. It concerns me for your well-being.
Yeah, you're not the only one.
I want to go ahead and state, I feel like there is a peace in the world again because you're back in Adidas clothing. The last few times I've seen you, you've been wearing band shirts. And
yeah. Yes, I am wearing an Adidas shirt for all the listeners. Jason is obsessed with my wardrobe.
Only your Adidas wardrobe.
Who isn't, honestly? But yes, I am. And balance has been restored to the force.
Well,
I'm wearing Adidas shorts too.
As a boomer, I appreciate big capitalism. So really rooting for Adidas here.
Big Adidas energy.
Bay.
Bay?
Big Adidas energy. Bay.
There we go.
All right. That's our new bet.
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 What's good?
Pushed out a blog post the other day, not about technical stuff, but people keep asking me about my Twitter profile image. So I was like, I'm just going to do the Kent C. Dodds thing and just put this in a post. And so I can just link to it every time. I've been wanting to get more consistent about doing that because there's so many things that I have to share and just I stopped myself from doing it because of our perfectionist-y thing that we talked about last week. So if you haven't listened to last week's episode, do that. But I feel like this week has been a blur.
I got a PR on your website.
Yep. Jason got a PR on my website.
My only open source commitment of last 18 months.
I did some stuff with Actions. I'm kind of exploring like making them into more modular resources that can be shared across organizations rather than single repos.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I think you sent me a screenshot in terms of like for us setting up Ruby, setting up Yarn, stuff like that.
Yeah, so there's different types of actions and there's two different ways to share logic with actions that GitHub provides. And one is called reusable workflows and the other is called composite actions. And what I specifically did is I created a GitHub repo on my organization or on my account called GitHub Actions. And then I created a few actions like setting up Node, setting up Ruby, running standard, running Brakeman, a few other random things like that. And those are composite actions. So then I made a Rails app, so different repo, made a Rails app. And then in that Rails app, I just basically told it to run all the actions that I had created in my GitHub Actions repo. And it worked. So now I do different things and I reuse GitHub Actions on pretty much all of my repos. And now I can take out all of those actions that like all that specific stuff for them, put them into composite actions. The best part about that is that when they update all repos for all of the places you're using it. So like maybe you're using a specific version of standard or something. You can pass in options and arguments to the composite action to have it do specific things. But like, for instance, I was looking at Jumpstart the other day and you guys are using actions checkout V2. Now there's V3. So like things like that, you can update them in a single repository. And then all your actions that are using that will then be updated to the newest thing or the newest way of doing it.
Huh.
So what I heard inspired me to inspire you to make an app that generates GitHub actions for me.
Okay. Or you can just Venmo me and I'll make it for you. There's your app. It's a Google form.
Perfect. I'll Venmo you and then I will make billions in ad revenue.
I'll put my GitHub Actions repo in the show notes, but it's not much. Just this maybe an idea for people who are like, hey, I have an organization and in that organization, we have several microservices maybe, and every single one of them is doing like the same thing. Now you could pull some of that all out into these composite actions and shared workflows. The only thing to note specifically about the composite action is they cannot access services. So AKA Postgres Redis. So like, yes. So like you couldn't have it like do anything that needed to interact with Postgres.
Got it.
But I think the shared workflows might be able to do that. So I don't know. Just an interesting exploration there.
That's cool. that will selfishly be very beneficial when we revisit that at work again one day.
One day.
We were kind of chatting before. There's not much going on right now. And hopefully that's still the case when you listen to this 2 weeks from now. Hopefully no big drama, but a couple of weeks ago, we tweeted out, what do you want us to talk about? And we have some things we can talk about today. Past us was looking out for future us without realizing it.
Shout out past us. That guy's usually a dick.
Yeah, definitely. Do y'all have anything y'all want to talk about, or y'all want to just read some tweets?
I'm down to read some tweets.
This one I think is actually very fascinating. This is from Mitch at WM Craver, C-A-V-E-R. Brace yourself. It's definitely a boring topic that I'm hoping the three of you can make fun. I'm learning Rails. I have no idea how to read the documentation or where to go. I'm used to R, the language R, package documentation that's basic and structured. I'm fine that I'm getting lost easily.
I guess I would be interested to know more about what they are lost on, but it's kind of interesting. It really, at the end of the day, it depends, right? But for Rails specifically, I mean, is it a problem of like you don't know how to read the Rails documentation, or maybe you just need to learn how to read documentation, period?
Well, I think there's, in my experience, you could zoom out on this discussion a little bit.
Sure.
And like the Rails guides are good for the topics they cover. They can't cover everything as guides, but otherwise documentation, when you Google it, you have to know what you're looking for. Or be willing to get into the weeds. And even right. When you get the weeds, it's like the first result's always API doc,
right?
Which is
bleh.
Yeah. And sometimes it takes a while to load. And then there's the actual like Rails docs, which are here is a class or a module and all the public and private methods. And they're always so well documented. But the only way sometimes I learn about those methods is like, oh, I'm bored and I like stumble upon a class or I'm looking for something else and I happen to read other things. Like I had no idea Rails could do that. I kind of wonder if there is a bit of a documentation, not problem, but opportunity for improvement within the ecosystem.
There's definitely a gap between the guides, which are like a light tutorial, and then going from that to like, what are all the options I have for routes or active record associations or something? And like, you can't just like open the active record gem and look at the docs there, because it's really just like the documentation, like you said, is really just here's all the classes and the public methods and what each one of those does. There's not a, like a smaller guide for active record or for routes or whatever. There's kind of just the high level and then the low level. And I assume maybe the R package documentation is like a bit more in between, like what you might find with the Sidekick wikis or the Devise wikis or whatever, something a bit more tutorial-esque around the package itself or a gem.
Yeah. Or like even with like certain active record methods, if there was a way like to have like the Sidekick's a really good example. Here's a scenario where you might need this method. Sidekick's really good about that. Shout out Mike Perham. I don't mean this facetiously at all, but Laravel has really good documentation. I know we joke about always talking about Laravel, but like that's one thing it really like shines in is their documentation really is like the perfect balance between guides and telling you what you can do with the framework. Even things you may not need, it's there. So when you need it, you can read about it.
It's written in a way to me that comes off as mini tutorials in a way. Like it's kind of explaining, imagine this use case or something. Hey, kind of how like I try to treat the screencast, which is let's take a look at an angle on how to solve this problem. And this is how we would do it. Because I feel like a lot of the Rails docs around like methods and classes are, here's the list of options you can call with this, but it's not necessarily like, why would you want this? And how would that integrate or whatever? And that is something I noticed like in the Laravel docs, it feels a lot of kind of storytelling almost, something like that, where it's like, here's the goal you're trying to accomplish. So here's how we think about it in Laravel or whatever.
Yeah, it's very like, here's a problem. here's a solution. I can see it in my head talking about like even something like, I can't remember, the Sail, I think it is, their Docker tooling. It's like, hey, managing a bunch of different dependencies is difficult. Here's how you use this tool to make it easier. So yeah, definitely something there that doesn't really answer the question, I guess, of...
Well, I have a few tips, and it may not help this specific person, but like there's a few things that people may know but have forgotten. The first one is that bundle open Rails will open the Rails gem in your code editor. So that's a great way to explore gems like quickly. The other thing you can do is if you have RDoC on, which it will be by default, is you can do gem server. Just type in the command gem space server. That'll allow you to access all the RDocs on localhost 8808. If you're missing any RDocs, you can do gem RDoC dash dash all to get all those. And then RI is still a thing for offline help files where you can do like RI enumerator to get all the information about like classes like that. So, I mean, that will help maybe people who are like, okay, well, I know the thing I'm trying to find, but maybe not like, I don't know what I'm trying to find.
Yeah. I think my very hand wavy high level workflow, I'm going to try and give an answer of like today and like when I was doing more, like, I don't know much about Rails. It's always like, I do check the Rails guides first, because if they cover the topic, it probably has an answer. Then most of it is like, for me, Googling high level what I want, which typically leads me to API doc or...
API.RubyOnRails.org.
Yeah. And my process now is typically, I'm looking for documentation about taking Active Record a little further, or looking for like some kind of active support thing, and just going to like the RubyOnRails.org, poking around, searching for it till I find it. It's not the best experience, but it does help me get through what I need. But once again, if there's a much better answer, I'd love to hear it for my own well-being.
I know I spent a ton of time, like when I was learning, watching all of the Rails casts and those types of things, Go Rails videos, other screencasts, whatever, like that kind of blend the API docs with the conceptual approach. Cause you'll either find that in like blog posts or the Rails guides to some extent. But if you're searching for like that aspect of how do I approach a problem with Rails, then I feel like screencasts and blog posts are of people building a feature tend to like dig into that a bit more. So it gives you like the philosophy, like direction to go in. And then when you get in the weeds of like, well, what specific options do I need for something? Then yeah, API doc or the Rails docs are good for that. But yeah, it has been a community contributed thing, I think, for the most part, for any of the like guidance on how do you solve problems a lot of times. So it is kind of argued about, or you'll find 10 videos on how to do the same feature 10 different ways. And it can end up being kind of a go watch them all and then figure out which one made the most sense for you. And there isn't necessarily a official location for a lot of that stuff, I feel like.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of I'm trying to learn Rails and like there are a bunch of these gems and I don't like know what they're doing. If the gem owner did not add documentation, there's really nothing you can do about it other than reading the code.
Yep. Contribute to those docs. Read the code, then write the README in a PR forum.
Our next topic suggested is, it just says mate stack. And we've actually talked in a previous, I mean, it's been a couple of years, I think, so it may be a little outdated. We talked about mate stack with Jonas. Andrew can probably find the episode number. And we can link it in the show notes. So I'm going to...
103.
I'm going to defer to that one there, but also glad to talk about that like again in the future. I don't really have much to say on it today. Our boss asked what should first timers at RailsConf know or do? And by the time this airs, RailsConf will be ending.
Yeah. We could air this one before.
We could.
Yeah. I mean, I could have some good ideas like for that. That might be helpful. What was the question? Things that first timers at RailsConf should know?
What should... Well, here, let me... From Jamie Lawrence at Ideas Asylum, what should first timers at RailsConf know/do?
know that it's going to be an exhausting week, I think, right out of the gate. And that if you're someone who is easily exhausted by human interaction, that you're just going to be really tired. So I think that's the first thing to just make yourself aware of and like plan in. Okay, maybe on this night, I'll take it easier. Maybe like during this time period, I'll go to my hotel room and just kind of chill or whatever. So it's a really tiring experience. But I think the first thing you should know is that when they open the exhibition hall, which is where all the companies who have sponsored and have booths basically have free stuff and they have demos and they want to hire people and they want to, you know, show you what they're working on and stuff like that, definitely go to the exhibition hall and hang out, because not only can you pick up some really cool swag, it's usually like a great place to kind of hang out with people. And it's a great place to learn about services in the community that are maybe ones you've never heard of, or that may be doing something better than one you're already using.
I want to add to that, that if you are someone that is overwhelmed by a bit of a mad dash, maybe don't be there right when it opens. Cause
yeah,
a lot of people do want the swag, and the swag is available first come, first serve. But there's also a lot of these companies, and typically they set up booths with like couches and chairs. So if you're looking for like, you kind of want to be social, but you also kind of want to like take it easy a little bit, there are some booths that like you can go hang out at. They're a different vibe from, say, like sitting in a chair out in the hallway during the conference.
Yeah. Sometimes they have like little front programming challenges they do. Heroku has done pair programming in the past, like live with like people who just want to do it. So yeah, there's a lot of really cool stuff in the exhibition hall. So definitely hit up the exhibition hall. And also because these are the sponsors that allow RailsConf to go forward. So like it's helpful for the conference as well for that to get a lot of people there. You guys have anything else to say about the exhibition hall specifically?
I would say typically like when you think sponsors, you think, I mean, there's obviously marketing benefit to them, but they're not, I don't think I've ever met a sponsor at RailsConf that I haven't had like a good conversation with. Like they're good people. Yeah. Obviously they're sponsoring RailsConf because it brings benefits to their company, but they're all pretty involved in the Rails community in some form.
Right.
So we all have the same goal. So it's worth talking to and hanging out. And yeah, I like the exhibition hall. It kind of has a relation to the other thing I wanted to mention was the first year I went to RailsConf, I put every talk I wanted to see in my calendar. And that was even more exhausting, was meeting so many people and going to every talk. And so obviously, like, I think it's important to go to talks, but also if you're exhausted, it is okay to miss a talk because usually they're recorded. And also I find the exhibition hall is also a really good place to hang out during talks if you're not going to one, because the sponsors are still there. There are some people still hanging out. So you can actually get into like more deep conversations and stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure. Whether US East 1 is down or you forgot to add a configuration file, everyone has an outage from time to time. When your next outage occurs, transparency is critical. The difference between a minor annoyance that people soon forget and a fiasco that creates sustained resentment is in how you communicate. That's why you need Honey Badger. Honey Badger will be a crucial component of your incident response plan with their uptime monitoring service that now has an exciting new feature, public status pages. Create a new status page with custom domains, branding, and more. Don't let Twitter be the only way your users can find out if your app is down. Sign up for Honey Badger to improve your incident response with a shiny new status page that you will be proud to show your users. Visit honeybadger.io and start giving your users a better experience today, and let them know Remote Ruby sent you. Thanks to Honey Badger for their continued support of Remote Ruby. So I doubt that this will be a thing this year because of COVID, et cetera. But previous years at the exhibition hall, they've had people giving massages. So that was like the big perk for me.
Yeah, I'm really worried it's not going to be there this year and it's going to be devastating for me.
I don't think it is. I would really not put your hopes up.
I think they started doing that in Kansas City in 2016. Because it was a Kansas City company who did it. And then that same company kept coming to all the RailsConfs after. Yeah.
That's funny. I was going to say, like, go pick random tables of people too at lunchtime and meet people that way. And I always enjoy sitting down at a random table full of people and everybody introduces themselves and whatever. And like you were saying, Jason, like the talks are recorded. So if you miss them, you can watch them later, but you can't go meet random people the same way. So like really take advantage of that part of the conference to the point where the last few times I've gone to a conference, I don't watch hardly anything but the keynotes because I spend all my time talking with people and it's a blast and make really good friends that way.
Yeah, I'm the same way, but I want to be careful to like offer that as advice.
Yeah.
Especially for like first timers, like especially if you're kind of new to programming. This is probably another thing to know. If you haven't been to a conference before, but specifically a RailsConf, the talks are really good at kind of giving you, like sparking an idea. I don't necessarily go to a talk to like write down everything and like go home and be an expert on said topic. But I can go to a talk. Andrew Atkinson's going to talk on Postgres that I saw. I can go and I can remember some of those high-level concepts he's going to talk about and go home and learn more about them myself.
Yeah. And it all kind of depends on your experience level too, right?
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
When I went to first conference, which was like Ruby Midwest back in the day, I remember taking huge amount of notes and then going home and like reading up on them in more detail and then trying to like document the things I learned from the conference on my blog or whatever, which is awesome. Like if you're a beginner, these are things you're learning. Spread what you've learned, share that stuff. That is a great way to like take the conference experience and just extend it and help more people too, which is awesome. People who couldn't be there. That is awesome.
And I would imagine, and I'm not obviously speaking for every speaker, but like personally, if I was giving a talk, which I am, but if I'm giving a talk and then you are a junior and you go home and write up like a bunch of stuff about what you learned about that, and then you send it to me, I'm going to want to share that with people. So it's a great way to get exposure to, I think.
Yeah. You're going to want to talk to that person because you're going to be like,
right,
wow, you went over and above as a consumer of this, which is awesome. That's a great sign. And great if you're looking for your first job as a junior. Those are great ways to, now you watch a great talk from somebody, you reach out to them, show them what you learned, and maybe that ends up being the introduction you needed to get your first junior job. You never know.
Absolutely.
That also brings up something that I want to mention, which is like Chris mentioned, like go to a table you don't know and have lunch, but also like go talk to the people who give talks. I can't speak for every speaker, but I always loved when I gave talks, people coming up after me and talking to me because I wanted to talk to people, but I was nervous to do that. But giving a talk, people just come up to you and talk. So be one of those people that goes and talks to a speaker. At RailsConf 2015, the first time I did that was with Andy Kroll, and still talk to him occasionally today. It's cool to be able to pinpoint that. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, putting on a talk is a lot of work for the speaker. And so even if you have nothing to say about the talk, even just be like, hey, I really enjoyed your talk. That could really make someone's day. So yeah, I think showing appreciation to speakers for what they're doing is definitely a good thing to do. On the topic of like sitting at a random table, you at the table can also find ways to facilitate that. If you have an empty chair, don't stick a bag in it. Keep it open. And if you're talking in a group, make sure there's always room for someone to join. Like keep an open circle. And then when someone new joins, expand the circle so that it keeps on being open for new people to kind of step in. So there's ways to like be more open and welcoming to people who are maybe there for their first time. And it's just like kind of going out of your way to like, you're welcome here with me. And kind of there's some visual cues you can do to make that happen.
That's a really good point. That's one that's really hard if you're not being intentional about it, for you to have the opposite effect where you end up like your body language closes off things. Not because you mean to, just because it's a really good tip. Have fun.
Yeah.
Like it's a good time. And I want to echo back what you said about like, it's exhausting. It is. And so like make some time for yourself, but also maybe try and like, I don't know, for me at 7 o'clock when I'm tired and there's an event and I want to just stay in my room, I'm like, but I'm at RailsConf. This is a special occasion for me to get out and go do something.
Yeah. Step out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, step out of your comfort zone while somehow still trying to balance keeping time for yourself and not burning yourself out. I leave Monday morning so hyped and I come back Friday afternoon so drained.
Yeah. The other thing is that there's a lot of talks and there's a bunch of workshops. And if you're trying to choose between a talk and a workshop, I would choose the workshop, because the workshop, you know, you're doing things and like it's interactive and live and you can ask questions and stuff like that. And they aren't recorded. So that's your only time to do it. So if you're like, hey, this talk sounds really good and this workshop sounds really good, I would probably choose the workshop. I mean, it depends, but I would think that the workshop is usually where you want to go if you want to maximize the value you get while at RailsConf.
Totally. I was about to shout out that you should go to Colleen and Aaron's Advanced Active Record workshop, but then I remembered it's also the same time as Ernesto's Upgrading Rails workshop. So I can't shout out either one of those because I can't choose for you between the two. Those will both be great workshops.
Yeah.
But what I can encourage you to do is before those workshops on Tuesday, go to the podcast panel recording because we'll all three be there.
Yeah, we will.
And then Thursday,
it'll be lit.
And then Thursday, we're giving a talk.
Yep.
About our podcast. And who knows how that will go.
Who knows? But it will be fun. The other thing is like, and I don't remember if RailsConf still does this, but sometimes they serve alcohol. And like, if you don't drink alcohol, just know that they always have other options. So during all the social events, like they always make accommodations for everyone. So the food is also usually really good, or specifically at RubyConf, it's freaking amazing. Usually I don't remember what they serve at RailsConf.
I mean, it's the same style.
Yeah.
The same type of food. Along that line, I would also say going back to like, meet people at lunch, sit at tables. If you don't know someone, try and find someone and figure out what they're doing for dinner, because there are simultaneously so many groups having dinners out. We had the Go Rails Supper Club when we were in Minneapolis for RailsConf. And like, actually all three nights, we all went out. Different people joined each time, but we all went. And those are where a lot of the hashtag Ruby friends pictures on Twitter come from, or those events.
Those are the best.
People kind of, you know, it's nighttime, you're letting loose a little more, like you're not in conference mode and you're hanging out. And it's a lot of like really good conversations and fun to be had.
We're going to at least meet up at Hotel Eastland on Wednesday night at like 7 or whatever. I'm going to have like just their people hang out there if they want to come and hang out with other Go Rails people. I don't think we ended up officially renting out a room or anything, but it seemed like it had plenty of space. So yeah, that has been always a fun thing. Just like meet people and then make dinner plans so you can go hang out later, and or you'll meet people at the evening events or whatever, the board game night and whatnot as well. It's hard to go like eat somewhere without running into other people.
It is. As I say, me and Andrew will be hunting down that Portland lobster.
Absolutely.
We always get lobster where we go.
Yeah, lobster is a thing. I love lobster. If you want to hire me, buy me lobster. No, I'm just kidding. Well, I'm not kidding, but buy me lobster, but you're not hiring me because I like
it. If you want to keep him employed.
Mike Parham on his website always lists out all the events that he is aware of that are going on during the week. So we'll put a link in the show notes, but it's mikeparham.com/events. That is an excellent place to go if it's your first time and you're like, well, I may not be in all these like private threads where people are like planning things. Like, this is a great place to go. Like, oh, well, they're doing board game night with Sidekick on Wednesday, which is, by the way, a ton of fun. Every time I go to board game night, it is so much fun. So that's where you can go to find like, oh, here's a bunch of things that I could do. Honey Badger is doing something at Ground Control.
Yeah, do you RSVP? Yeah,
I'm doing it literally right now. I have this thing with arcades.
It's Honey Badger and Sidekick putting it on. And then there's a Bridgetown event Thursday night. Yeah, it'll be fun. But also too, even if you don't drink, typically there's a bar in the hotel and there's seating outside the bar and people always hang out there and a lot of conversations and hangs happen. You typically also see a lot of the people you like admire and look up to hanging out there, which can be intimidating, but it's a lot of fun still.
Yeah. I mean, and like to speak to that a little bit, like you're going to see your Ruby heroes there. when I went to my first RailsConf, like I was still in college. I literally just started learning Ruby. I just started like finding out about people in the community. And like, I would be like, oh my God, that's Aaron Patterson.
Like, I still do that.
Well, I mean, I still do that too. Like, to be fair. But like, these people are typically really, really nice. And they typically would love to talk to you. So don't be intimidated just because they're really, really well known. That person's probably incredibly nice and is happy to talk to you if you want to talk to them. But that kind of goes back to stepping out of your comfort zone a little bit. Not to call them out, but like when we were at RubyConf in Denver, we were sitting in a bar upstairs and Eileen and a few other people came in and Drew Bragg was like, I really want to take a selfie with Eileen. And I was like, you won't. Because like in me, I was like, I wouldn't do that. I was like, that would be so awkward to just go ask her. But like he did, she said yes, and he was really happy. So like, don't be intimidated by people.
Yeah.
Especially us.
I hope people aren't intimidated by us. I mean,
I was by Chris when I first saw him. I was like, that's the Go Rails guy.
I remember you introducing yourself to Chris and me thinking, who is this guy?
If only you had known back then.
The relationship that we would blossom.
Yes. Cultivate right. And garden.
I remember walking up and talking to Michael Hartle for like half an hour one day. That was fun. It's just awesome to like meet people like that who are like, wow, how much have they contributed to the community? And you're like, just super grateful and assume that they're really busy and you can't talk to them because they're just busy or whatever, famous. But like they are more often than not super happy to chat with you.
That's why they come, a lot of them.
Yeah.
Michael Hartle is a great example. I think I met him at Kansas City. I can't remember. I met him at one of those. And then, I met him at RubyConf San Antonio because I had dinner with him and Nate Berkopek. And like, I was sitting at dinner like, oh my God, I don't even think I knew it was Michael Hartle. He said like, yeah, like I have the, the Learn Rails. I can't remember what it's called. And I was like, oh my God, you're Michael Hartle. And then like Nate was talking to him about Tau, which is Michael's thing with Pi is not right. It's Tau. And Nate's like, oh my God, you're the Tau guy. Like talking to Michael, it was cool. But then 2 years later in Phoenix, I was having breakfast and Michael was like, hey, you're with RailsConf, right? I was like, yeah. He just sat down and had breakfast with me.
Nice.
Those kind of things just happen. And it's, I don't know. That alone is worth the trip for me. It's just getting to meet people and learn more about people.
Absolutely. I guess other things, there's a lot of events. You don't have to go to all of them. If they're doing RSVPs and you think you might want to go, just go ahead and RSVP.
Because they may fill up.
Yeah, because they might fill up. And it's not rude to like show up to a talk late, in my opinion, if you don't make a disruption. So like, don't think just, I needed to use the restroom and maybe grab some food. And now I'm like 10 minutes late to this talk and that means I shouldn't go. I think it's perfectly fine to come in late. Just don't make a disruption like getting in. Try to be quiet and mindful that the speaker is trying to focus. Or you can stand at the back. A lot of times the rooms will fill. So if there is a talk that you think might be kind of popular and you can kind of judge the popularity on the speaker a lot of times, because some people just go to talks because of the speaker. So you can stand at the back usually, and or you can just catch it online. But I don't know. Yeah, kind of like what Jason said, like have fun. This is supposed to be fun. I think it's supposed to be fun. If it's not, then I've been doing it wrong. But it's supposed to be fun, so have fun.
I attribute RailsConf and RubyConf to most of my greatest friendships in the community. It took some work on my part because I'm pretty shy, nervous about like meeting new people. And like once you do it a couple of times, then you see that person again at the same conference and it gets easier. And then they introduce you to more people. And then you see them again at the next conference. It's like this exponential effect it has.
Yeah.
And even the first day versus the second day of the conference, when everybody shows up the first day, they're all kind of like, we haven't seen each other for a long time. And then you do the first day of the conference and then everybody goes out, has dinner and hangs out. The second day is way more relaxed every time. I've noticed that a lot. And it's, yeah, the first day, I don't know, people are tired from flying in and whatever, packing and all that stuff. And then it really does become that where you're like, just realize you're in a super great group of people and friends, and you're just going to hang out with them for a few days. And unfortunately, pandemics make it hard to hang out more often. But yeah, this is like my favorite thing of every couple times a year going to a conference and just spending time with people who share a love for the same thing you do. It's hard to do that any other way, especially with that many people, 1,000+ at RailsConf. Can't wait, but maybe we should hop on to the next topic in the list of Twitter questions.
I think we have time for one more today, and we'll save the rest for another episode. Now, this is an appropriate one to end on. Spencer Fry, whoever that is.
Who is that?
Would like us to talk about Bet.
Bet?
Bet.
Bet. Bet.
And with that, I think we have covered enough for this episode. And if you're listening to this, keeping up for RailsConf, please come say hello to us.
Please come say bet to us.
Bet.
Come say bet.
That's the secret word. Then we'll know you're in the jokes.
Yes.
That is true. That would be, you know what? That's it. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Bet.